Jeff Central. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
JeffCentral.com.
Hello, hello, and very, very welcome to Beyond Ears and Eyes. I'm Shemaine Harris.
And I'm Liesl Tom, as always, with my friend Shemaine. And today, back in studio with us is our controller, Duncan Mabasa. Duncan, we're very happy to see you.
I am so happy to see you. Not that Sibongile and Nilesh weren't great, but, you know, I'm just so happy to see you. Thank you so much.
Shemaine, who else is here?
Well, we're going to talk to consulting Kabbalistic astrologer.
Oh, my word.
I know. I can't even get the words over my tongue. And that is Hailcha LaRue. But then she's also by trade, well, long ago, and obviously she can still do it, a graphic designer. She's also a tarot reader, and she also teaches one how to read the tarot. And I can see
a mouthful. Now, when I told Duncan what we're discussing, just the Kabbalistic astrology, he asked me if there's an acronym for that, because, like, he's a youngster, you know, and these youngsters, they just want acronyms. And I went, car. And then Hailcha, you said there actually is something like that.
Yes, the car is the name for the soul in ancient Egyptian.
Awesome. So that's quite apt.
Yeah. So, yeah, welcome, Hailcha. It's really
Thank
good
you.
To have
Thank
you here.
Nice being here.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk a little bit about what you do, which is Kabbalistic astrology.
Yep.
I'd love to hear what that is all about. We're also going to talk about what Kabbalah is, you know, or the understanding of Kabbalah. And, you know, there are lots of things floating about as to what it is and what it's not. And then we're also going to talk about how the tarot can enhance one's spiritual life instead of just looking at it as a gimmick for fortune telling and, you know, that type of thing. So we've got a lot to go. Liesl, I'll let you start.
So let's get through it. What is Kabbalistic astrology? What makes it different from Linda Goodman sun signs?
Okay. Linda Goodman is actually a very good place to start to understand what your sun sign is about. But then Kabbalistic astrology takes it to the realm of the soul. So you become a soul-centered person. You live from the inside out rather than life impacting on you. So it's really to get to the place where you understand your own center and how you as a soul incarnated in this life and what your purpose is about.
Okay.
So it's really that. You know, people say, but why was I born? Why am I here? And those kind of questions can be answered by that.
So you can tell people the meaning of life?
Yeah, the meaning of their individual life.
Okay.
Because every person has got that purpose that is very individualistic to themselves.
So how does it work? Do you also have draw up a chart, a native?
The natal chart, yes. And
a native chart. And I like that, yes.
As I was saying, yes, I thought,
it's actually not so wrong because it's the natal chart. Natal is the native place where you were born, the natal.
Okay, that's me being trying to be clear. Go ahead.
So, yes, that is, it's to understand your own purpose. And when you start to embrace your own purpose, you're starting to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to look at your own talents. And yes, life is still going to impact on you. That will never, ever go away because we are normal people in a normal society. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make you more special. It actually, in a sense, makes you more humble.
Okay.
Because you understand that there is so much more to life than just what people generally believe in.
And this is all through reading someone's chart.
Yes.
According to the Kabbalah way of Kabbalah.
Yes. Yeah, you can say, yeah, you can say it like that.
All right.
What Kabbalah is also about is about creation and how to create.
Mm-hmm.
So what you then in the end do is you create your own journey.
But before we even get there, I really want to try and understand how the Kabbalistic astrology works, because you said it was soul driven.
Yes.
Now, because we had to read a bit about it, it sounds very fascinating. Like, for instance, I'm going to just start with this, and you can continue with it. You are able to trace one's life, the present life,
yes,
further back than where you're at now in this lifetime. So you can go like 2, 3, 7 lifetimes back, and you're saying that the charts are giving you all that information.
Yes.
So that is incredible. Speak about that, because I do not know. I did not even know something like that existed until very, very recently.
You know what? You can create a story from the points that is sort of activated by certain by following certain energies in the chart. So you can create the story, and you can create a storyline.
When you say you create a story, what does that mean? Are you making things up?
No.
Okay.
No. Because very specific things in a chart means extremely specific things. You mm-hmm. cannot make it something else. So what you can trace is what you came to understand when you passed in a previous life. And those understandings you came in with in this life, and you want to make it right. You want to live a better life. So those things you can read.
Mm-hmm.
So if you create a story, it's more a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
By following the points in the chart, you know, the ones there, one thing is set off by another thing is set off by another thing.
Mm-hmm. Like so, how someone died and why they are having specific or certain kinds of hang-ups.
Yes,
in this lifetime. So someone was choked, they
yes.
might be claustrophobic and stuff like that. So you can find things out with your type of astrology.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Yes,
but sorry to interrupt. How do you know that when you follow this narrative, as you said, you follow mm-hmm. the energy?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know it's not the voices in your head? How do you know it is specific to the person you are seeing?
Because you are reading the chart. I am not making anything up in my head. I am following the pointers in the person's chart. Because, I mean, that is very technical, coming from an astrology point of view. But every single thing is set off by another thing. So you start to follow those pointers. And everything has got a timeline on it as well. So it's then very interesting to see the soul purpose and the spiritual unfoldment of that.
Is there a line where you can say, okay, generally people came down for this, that, and the other? Or are we just all different?
No, we're all different.
Okay.
We're really all different. We're individuals, but of course then there is generational energy. There is generational, some people came in with a generational idea to when they are mature, then that specific idea will start to take hold.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, what was happening and what's coming to the end now is the overpowering sort of mismanagement of the individual as authority and how they've been doing that. Because we all go, you know, the authority should look more at the people.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't stand there and say, rah, 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 me, I'm the king of my own heap.
Mm-hmm.
So the new kind of energy that's coming in, that's reaching maturity now, is how are we healing this planet?
Okay. So there's healing energy coming in.
Oh, absolutely.
What do you say then to people who go like, but, you know, it sounds all good and well, but I don't particularly believe that I have lived before or I am living through my generations before, you know.
Yeah.
Because what you do deal with is past lives. And reincarnation is kind of like a bit of an abomination to a lot of people.
You're very right. Yes, of course there will be people that does not believe in this or think it's nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But there's lots of people that has had experiences of actually going back into previous lives.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that can take you back into your own previous lives.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can see very specifically who you were, the people that you had interactions with, and with what message you died, or what unfinished business you died.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Beyond Ears and Eyes on Cliff Central. If you'd like to join in the conversation, why don't you send us a message on WeChat? Our WeChat ID is Cliff Central. We're speaking to Hailcha LaRue about Kabbalistic astrology. Look, I got it right. The Kabbalah and the Tarot. Now, Hailcha, how did you get onto this? I mean, it, as Shemaine said, you know, it's something that's so out there that I've never heard of it. How did you stumble upon it?
How did I stumble upon it? I think I always say to people, I was born this way. I was one of those kids that was looking around me and sitting in the church. It was a good Afrikaans school. And went, they don't tell me everything that they should tell me. And I, you know, all those unanswered questions that a little girl had in her head was never answered in the conventional way. And the only weird book that we had was the Bible. So I started to read the Bible from back to front and front to back. And I always said that there's something hidden in these verses that must be profound. And I'm not getting that.
Mm.
And the only place I could find out about the profoundness of the Bible was in Kabbalah.
Mm. How did that start? Did you go into it with a skeptic mind? Did you have to get over your Calvinistic upbringing?
You have no idea.
Were you guilty of sin?
Yes. Very. You're quite right. You're quite right. So I started out as a conventional girl with a lot of questions, and I was extremely skeptic, especially also because I've got an inquiring mind. I think I'm kind of scientific about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you are not curious about things that is not told to you, you will go, I'm a skeptic, how does this work? So I think that is the first premise, just to start out to investigate,
mm-hmm.
is to say, I don't believe in this. Let's see how it works. So the more I found out how it worked, the more I had to sort of say, I can't be a skeptic, yeah. But also, I don't believe in this. I investigated this. I taught myself. I went to read the books. I went to classes as well. But mostly, I'm reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading books on these subjects.
So, you decided you're going to incorporate that into your astrology? The
Kabbalah.
The Kabbalah.
I was taught by a specific person, the Kabbalistic astrology.
Oh, okay. So yeah. It wasn't like two separate decisions where you went like, okay, I'm doing astrology and now I'm doing Kabbalah and now I'm just going to put them together.
No. I already knew astrology when I started to study. I just wanted to know, how do I incorporate this? How do I use this, you know, to help people to understand more about themselves? And at that stage, I wasn't aware that, you know, this was quite of a different kind of way to look at astrology. And I've been doing it for many, many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only when I started to compare that I saw this is a little bit different.
When you saw what? What did you compare?
Sorry. When I saw how sort of the normal astrologers do it. Yeah.
All right. But you guys talk to one another.
Oh, yes.
It's not like the one is against the other.
No.
In which way is it different? Can you explain to me what makes Kabbalistic astrology
a little bit different? You know, it is much more, and yeah, I'm getting into trouble, but it's very
getting people into trouble. Don't stop.
It's very soul-centered.
Okay. What does that mean?
It means that mostly astrology goes, this will impact you, that is against you, or this is bad in your life, or, you know, that kind of thing. So there's a little bit of a fear coming in. Whereas a Kabbalah say, but you should be standing central in your life. You should stand in your own soul, in your own spiritual well-being. So you start to live your life from your own perspective, that you are the captain of your own destiny, and you have the choices to make from a point within yourself. So it's starting to live from an authentic self. Now, normal astrology also do that, but there's so many astrologers that go, but Pluto is doing this to you and Uranus is doing that to you, and ooh, this is bad or that is bad. Nothing is bad. Everything is a choice.
But in Kabbalistic astrology, do the planets still have some bearing?
Absolutely.
Like Mercury retrograde. Wasn't that the one we...
That's the one that messes with communication, isn't it?
I know. You know, people are so afraid of Mercury retrograde. But Mercury retrograde, you know, if something bad was going to happen to your communication system, rather sort it out. So Mercury retrograde is also there to inform you, to redress, to do a little bit of redesigning. So in a sense, it's not bad if we always run forward and we never have the opportunity to look at things again, you know, to do revision.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be much more of a train smash than a Mercury retrograde.
Okay, so we need to do revision ultimately in our lives. The other thing that you also told me when we spoke about living a Kabbalistic life was that you now, once you start working with it, you have to know for sure that you cannot turn back, because you will be held responsible by yourself for how you live life. It's almost like you can't, it's like you've seen it, now you can't unsee it again.
Yes.
How does that work?
You know, the moment you start to say, I know and I understand, because that is also what we call the point of reference for understanding, is the point of reference for being accountable for your life and being responsible.
Mm.
So at that point, when you say, I start to understand, you can't say, but I did not know.
Mm.
So, and it's back, it's also then reflecting from the inner point of self, where you are being held accountable for all your choices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say that you're perfect and you will make perfect choices. It is just when you do make a choice and you get eventually to the understanding of what it meant and how the impact was received by yourself and others, you take responsibility for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes self-regulatory.
It's a conscious life, living a conscious life.
That is actually what it boils down to, yes.
Okay. We know, well, I heard about Kabbalah because of the celebrities.
Yeah, Madonna.
That's the frame of celebrity thing.
What is Kabbalah?
You know, it's like just for people out there.
Kabbalah is for everybody.
But that system, we want to distinguish between that system where it's celebrity driven or it's a hype thing, mm-hmm. to practical application for normal me and you, daily life kind of thing.
You see, like everything else, there's a popular way of doing it,
mm-hmm.
all right? And for the masses, for the common people, for the common person out there, and that it just means for the person that doesn't want to go in deep, that kind of, popular Kabbalah is fine. And mm-hmm. there's lots of books written on it, and people can read about it.
So what does that mean? What is the popular Kabbalah? What does it consist of then?
It consists of the same, it would be the same thing you investigate when you do, you know, more in-depth Kabbalah. But it wouldn't take you to a point of where you go in so deeply and you start to live your authentic life.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm saying this, again, I'm getting into trouble, because it does get you to a point of amazing understanding, an amazing understanding of how the universe works and what is your place in the universe and who you are. But it kind of stay on the surface, because most people shouldn't dive that deep. You know, it becomes a very lonely life in the end, because you're surrounded by people, but from an individualistic point of view, you are walking your own path.
When we look at the word Kabbalah and you Google it, it tells you it's Judaic mysticism.
That's true.
First of all,
yes.
What does mysticism mean? And then secondly, you don't particularly strike me as Jewish or male. Are you supposed to have this knowledge?
Yes, of course you have to. You know, you are so right. It is a form of mysticism. Now, mysticism, there's lots of ways to look at mysticism and understand what it is. But it's mysticism goes, it's more the idea of understanding, you know, the divine. And the divine interaction with the terrestrial or life on earth. So it's very difficult for people to explain what it is, and therefore it's called mysticism. You go into the realms of where God interacts with life and with people, and where you get messages from God, or, you know, messages from divine intervention. And that is why it's called mysticism. Yes, I'm not Jewish, that's true. But the message from the Jewish mysticism system is now available to anybody, and everybody can learn it. So, yes, traditionally it was male. You have to be over 40, you had to be married, and you have to have children so that you can stand in, you know life. Because if you haven't had children, you know, there's things that you don't understand about why people do certain things. When
like love, you don't know what love is until
unconditional
you have a child.
Love.
You guys are getting into trouble here with people who don't have children.
No. But that's just the traditional way, of course. Okay. And then you have to be over 40, because then you have more time on your hands to go deeply into mysticism studies or the study of Kabbalah. There are different ways to do Kabbalah. The one is just to learn the theory. The other one is to take it from a mystical point of view, from the God, from a godly point of view. And the other one is to do it practical. So astrology is linked to the practice of it, because it's linked to the times that we live in. And every single planet has got an archetypal energy or a specific energy for a certain length of time. So what you do is you start to live your life according to the availability of the timeline of the planetary energy. And every single planetary energy is linked to a certain sort of an emanation or an idea of godliness.
Please give an idea of what that means.
Okay. So, for instance, we look at Venus. We all know that Venus is love. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that would be the point where you live according to what you love, how you love, what you invite into your life. And all those things are linked to the astrology. Mm-hmm. But if we start to link it to Kabbalah, we take it one step further. It becomes like a more of a divine intervention. So what you love and what you give out should be linked to an idea of sharing the beauty of yourself, humanity, and divineness.
Okay, so that you don't need planetary alignment for. Or do you?
No, you do. You do, actually. Because
really?
Yeah.
I thought you just go like, I have decided I am going to love. That conscious decision. So
I'm
so,
glad for you, Shemaine.
So you mean the moments of madness that I have are okay?
When
that resolve breaks down, where I go like, I know I said I'm going to love you, but I'm not loving
you
right now.
You're not loving me. Okay. Mm-mm. But then you're also standing in your authority.
Hmm.
Because then you go, this is not okay according to love, which is fine.
So, okay, but really I would like to understand that. Is that a personal thing, or is this because I'm not going to know when my period of loving is there. Because I'm not going to go to you all the time.
No, I understand what you mean.
Mm.
You know, it is always there, and obviously there's 12 signs of Venus. So there's, and all of them has got a certain length of time that they are in a certain sign.
Mm-hmm.
And those things you cannot go, you know, you can't go make a planet go faster or slower. It will be there for a certain amount of time mm-hmm. in a certain sign, sort of allowing us to align with that certain energy. Now, from a technical point of view, every single one of us has got a Venus sign in our charts, in our astrological charts, and the whole astrological chart is always available to you. So you use it as a springboard for your own personality.
You say it's always available, but how do I know it's available? And what makes it available? Because going to an astrologer is not what people really do or readily do. So do I have to go to an astrologer for that?
Yes.
I do. So on my own, I'm literally...
You're just on your own. You know, on your own, you just live your life.
Okay.
Okay.
So if you could give us 5 practical examples of how to live a life, a Kabbalistic life... What would that be? Five. You said the one was to share of yourself. You know,
yeah, you
said
can share yourself. Yes,
share yourself. Share the love and your food.
That's a good one.
And, and your clothes and your boots.
Share your food, Shemaine. that's a nice one. Yes, it is also. It's trying to understand where your passions lie and align with those. The other thing is not to overpower people with your own point of view. Allowing people to absolutely be themselves.
Of the most difficult things for people to do?
It is so difficult for people to do.
Mm-hmm. You know? I want to control you.
I want to control you. Mm-hmm. And I want to decide for you.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with children, it's a little bit different. You need to... that's the other thing. If you have children and you align with Kabbalah, you have to allow them to be themselves and to develop within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it is so amazing from a practical point of view to understand the chart or the astrology makeup of your child.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of a sudden, you understand why they do certain things, why they come in so different from each other.
Mm.
You know, it's the same mother and father, it's the same household, but they're different.
Mm-hmm.
And also, all of a sudden, you understand why you see your parents so different from your brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
You will be different.
But isn't that something that you'll figure out anyway without having an astrology or an astrological chart?
Yeah.
Isn't that something that you can just go like, listen, I'm on my way on a spiritual path, and these are certain things that I need to learn. You know, so you get it that we're all supposed to be different. You get it that we're supposed to do certain things, you know.
Yeah.
It's almost like how to enforce it, like for me now, because now we've got 3 down, but how to actually enforce it, how to make it work for someone who doesn't have access to what you have access to, or what some people might have access to, like an astrological chart.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So if I want to go, what do they say about prosperity? What do you do? How do you prosper according to Kabbalah, for instance? You know.
Oh, of course. I see what you mean. You see, that is the other thing, is that now we're getting all into the mysticism of it. The energy to prosper is available constantly. Okay. God gives constantly. God creates constantly the paradigm that we live in. It will never stop, and it does never stop. So people that slot in with the whole thing of when is this earth going to stop, it's not. It might change. The environment might change, people might change, whatever lives on the earth might change, but those things are also co-created by our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
we create everything that comes into your life by thinking it. So everything that you see around you was first an idea. And that idea then got a blueprint. And that blueprint then went into manufacture. And that manufactured thing is what you see around you. So if you align with the energy of creation, you know that you can create absolutely anything in your life. You can manifest anything in your life. So make it worthwhile.
And Kabbalah teaches you how to do that.
Yes, you align with creativity.
See,
with
that,
that for me
is head speak when you say you align with creativity. I'm like, tell me how to. Do you understand what I mean?
No,
because
I
it's easy to say, sorry, Liesl, I know you want to talk. I'm going to let you talk now. But all I'm saying is I don't want it to be frou-frou up in the air. Now, align with creativity. I'm going, what the fuck?
You see, I come from a creative idea. I create. I'm a graphic designer by
mathematical and you're scientific. So I do understand that you're cerebral. You know, so that's great. But give me something practical.
Okay, the practical. Okay, a practical thing is what do you want for your life in 3 years' time? What do you want for your life in 5 years' time? If you start to write those things down, okay, and not sort of hone in on it too much, because then you're holding, it's almost like you're holding the idea ransom, and you just release that idea will still be in the back of your head. Say, for instance, you want to be a millionaire in 5 years' time, okay, what do you need to do to get there? So there will be practical things that come into your life. But it's for you to start to recognize the path or the pathway of the energy flow in order to get what you want. So you can start to say, you know, I want this and this and this in my life, and make it specific, all right? But also give it some space to grow and to be probably more than you anticipated.
Because the one thing that we do when we do vision boards and write notes to our future self is to really hold on to that idea.
You
have to release it.
You have to hold on to the idea. But for instance, you know, sometimes we think that we are getting waylaid by the idea. We know this is not going into the right direction. But the idea is to look at what is in front of you. What choice is there? Because if you start to make choices from the heart and you think, okay, this is the right idea, maybe it's not specifically what I had in mind. But so many people hold so dearly and so heavily onto, literally heavily, onto what they want, that they do not recognize the journey or the path.
It's kind of like they're telling God, this is what I want, and here is how you should give it to me.
Oh, absolutely. I always say, God is not Father Christmas, you know? You will have to live your life anyway.
Helcha, what happens if Shemaine and I are on the same frequency, call it what you will, and we are adamant that we're going to create this beautiful, loving, green earth around us, yet 90% of people are unthinking and through their actions create the direct opposite.
Yes.
Who's going to win? I mean, honestly, we're just two people.
I hope it's more than two.
but where is that critical mass?
There is a critical mass. And that is, I mean, Shemaine did ask me if there's one thing that I want to say to people out there, what are you choosing for the future? Because at this stage, you know, the available energy is so what we call mutable, or it's so
you can play with it.
You can play
it's
with
creative
it.
Energy.
It's extremely
fun.
Creative. It's fun. So what are you choosing? What are you choosing for your life? Are you choosing all the negative talk? Are you choosing who is going to win or not going to win which election and or whatever? Or are you aligning with something more positive? Because there's so much positivity going on. There's so many new ideas coming in. And if you start small, you start with your own life. You know, if someone starts to talk extremely negative, don't tell them that they are wrong or something like that. Just align with something more positive. just start to impact on a more positive level, because everything is available to choose at this stage, and what you choose is what's going to pull through.
Guys, we are running out of time. Let's move on to the tarot.
Can I
last one.
Okay, last one. Yes, you guys will speak very well about the tarot. So, okay, so firstly, this what is Kabbalah? It's about sharing. It's about aligning with your passion. Am I right?
Yeah, there's so much about
just five things that I can walk away with, that I can implement, you know, that will make my life
fine.
So it's allowing those that you love or whomever to be who they are and not judge. Get away from the judging thing, and the prosperity is recognize the path that you're on and follow it.
And the whole thing is that God loves you. The universe loves you. You are not lost.
Yeah. You see, again, that thing for me is like, God loves you, the universe loves you. What is that? but I understand. I do. I'm being facetious, but, you know, it takes a while for you to actually go like, okay, what is love? But then, you know, and how is it implemented? How is it being seen? I mean, if I look at Liesl and what she's like to me, she's like, that's for me, that's God is love. Do you know what I mean? It's not like I'm not looking for someone else.
I'm dropping
else.
The mic.
Do you see what I mean?
I'm out of
so,
here.
But we always want to go like there's some other source that I must get love from. But when I look at you and the way you do me, I go like, yes, that's my girl.
Yeah.
How you
and
doing?
It's a give and receive.
Yes, it's a give and
receive. You receive, therefore you give.
Yeah.
Receive, therefore you give.
Yeah. And so you know that God loves you and the universe is for you by the people that actually are there for you.
Yes, and you are receiving. There for. You're receiving. More and more, if you are open to receive.
Yeah, that's such a learning process. You go on, Liesl, with the tarot.
Let's talk about the tarot. I'm actually.
Thank you, friend. I heard you.
Hilda, you use the tarot in a way a little bit different to most people. Most people that I know use the tarot to try and understand, to try and make sense of their life right now, or to predict the future. That's something I can't get. How can you predict the future?
Because you change your mind.
It's true.
You're right on one level, is to understand where you are now, the springboard of the now. Okay, but what you need to understand is that you are in a timeline of becoming, and you're in a timeline of wanting, of having your needs met. Okay, so obviously you come from a certain point, you are here now, and where are you going towards? So what I normally do is I let the people ask a question about their future, and only that question will be answered. It's the way the oracles always did it in times past.
But where does free will then come in? I don't understand divination. I do not understand how someone like you can say, this is what's going to happen.
No, you can't, actually, because the future has not happened yet.
Yes.
Okay. So you are in a situation where you can start to change your future. So, for instance, you ask a question, and the question will be absolutely aligned to the question. And then, you know, a responsible tarot reader will ask you, is that what you want? And if you say no, you can start to change your questioning or the way you start to question to get an answer of where you actually want to go. So therein lies the choice. So I turn it around. It's not like I pack the cards and this is your future. I allow you to start to make your own future by asking questions. It's almost like you with every question you open a little bit of a window. So if you start to open other windows, you will get other choices manifested. And even if you chose certain things, you are the individual that can change that.
So what happens if you draw a card that you don't like?
Which cards don't you like? I like all of them.
No, but I mean, you know, some cards like the death card.
I know.
I understand, or the tower. I understand that you can put a positive spin on it. But just that card itself,
I know.
It's a negative message.
I know. It's. But the thing is just, death actually means the end of something. So it's a transformation.
See,
It's a transformation into something else. Okay. So how many times in your life has there been a death to where you were? I mean, if you're at the end of high school, it's a death of high school. You're going to a new place, a new understanding of yourself. The tower is just new energy coming in. It's a lightning flash. Okay, there is another way of seeing things. There is a light going on. Okay. What's the other one? The devil. The devil is... It's those rules that you align yourself with or you are trapped in that doesn't make you a free spiritual entity. These rules. Mm-hmm. So you align yourself with rules instead of the freedom of the self and God allowing.
So if I come to you, you'll give me a spiritual lesson.
Yeah, it's very much a process and a lesson. But it's a lesson that you walk away with so that you can be empowered.
Okay. No, that's great because that means that I can grow spiritually. And it's not predict my future because, you know, we know we can change our minds. Yes. And we go, oh, yeah, okay. Which is great if you can actually do that. I'll be with you now, Liesl. Which is actually great if you can do that where you go like, okay, my future at the moment, the way I've been doing things is standing like this. And if I don't change things, that's going to happen. And so, you know, you can... so you can actually go forward with new information, which is amazing, yes?
We are out of time, but before we go, we have a message here from Cabello M, who says, I'm a 33-year-old male working and living in Joburg. I have a desk job, so listen to Cliff Central while going about my work. Before the show started, I was talking to a friend of mine on Skype and just telling him how I'm having a downer of a day. Now I've come to realize that I am yearning for purpose and have arrived at a place in my life where work, relationships, and all things life are starting to feel like distractions. I lack a sense of fulfillment and purpose for my life, and this feeling of emptiness keeps recurring no matter what I try. Sleep, alcohol, and throwing myself at my work have all failed to fill the void. Is there a name for this? Or are these just symptoms of depression or identity crisis, which I have both come to consider? Cabello, thank you for sharing that with us. I do not think there's going to be a short answer. But Heiltje, do you have some words of comfort for Cabello?
Yes, it is. You know, if you come to that point in your life where you think things are ending, that is actually, it is in a sense true. So what it does ask of you is to look at things that you've already accomplished in your life. Look at things that you can make your own and start to live from that point of view.
And embrace the change.
Embrace the change. Your life is going to change. Yeah. Really.
Cabello, and keep listening to Beyond Ears and Eyes because that is what Shemaine and I are trying to find and answers to those questions.
Also, you know, Cabello, I heard something from Neil Donald once. She once said, if everything changes, change everything.
Fantastic.
Now, that was our show
for today.
Words
of wisdom, I'm out of here. Thanks, everyone.
And also from me, Heiltje, thank you so much. Duncan, awesome to see you again. Do download Beyond Ears and Eyes as soon as you can and listen to it, share it. This is Cliff Central. Bye-bye now.
This is CliffCentral.com.